Hey, good morning. I'm Playbook co-author Eugene Daniels. It is Wednesday, April 3rd. Here is what's driving the day. First, something that you should pay a lot of attention to. Nebraska's governor on Tuesday threw his support behind a state law that would change the state's presidential electoral allotment. That would take it back to a winner-take-all state in the general election. If this does actually become law, it will definitely shake up the presidential. For President Joe Biden, it would take away what is currently his easiest path to 270, one electoral vote from Democratic Omaha, and wins in the blue wall, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. Also, and in a first in Playbook, at the beginning of March, after Super Tuesday and Biden's State of the Union, the Biden campaign went on what they basically thought of a month of action, an intensive blast of hires, outreach, and travel that was supposed to show that the campaign was really starting in earnest. This morning, we can exclusively reveal some of the stats from that month of action. First, Biden held events in every single battleground state in less than 20 days. They opened up more than 100 offices, including scaling up staff in the battleground states, sent out more than 2 million text messages, made more than 385,000 calls to recruit volunteers. 20,000 volunteers reached out to voters, with almost 120,000 supporters joining organizing calls. The campaign launched Students for Biden, Latinos con Biden, and Women for Biden. Lastly, there was that record-breaking $26 million political fundraiser with Presidents Biden, Barack Obama, and Bill Clinton. All of this should probably go a long way to chill out those Democrats who were panicked last year when they thought the campaign wasn't scaling up as quickly as they wanted it to. And lastly, 7 people died in an Israeli strike against a convoy from World Central Kitchen, an aid organization that provides meals to civilians suffering from hunger due to conflicts. The organization was founded and is led by Jose Andres. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said the strike was, quote, unintentional and killed innocent people. And last night, the chief of the general staff of the IDF released a video on social media saying, quote, I want to be very clear. The strike was not carried out with the intention of harming WCK aid workers. It was a mistake that followed a misidentification at night during a war in very complex conditions. It shouldn't have happened. And joining me now to talk about that situation in Gaza is the author of National Security Daily, Matt Berg. Matt, thank you for coming on. Good morning.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Matt, when these kinds of things happen, we always try to be careful about what we know and don't know, right? There are some things that we're certain of and that we're still reporting out. So from your expert perch, what are the things that we definitely know about the situation that happened in Gaza?
Yes. So after the strike by Israel on Monday, which hit an aid convoy carrying the World Central Kitchen workers, the company released the names of all 7 people killed. 4 of those were members of the relief team, and 3 were security members. The company was delivering food to Gazans. This is becoming more and more important for groups like these private companies to do this work because of fear of famine spreading in Gaza and struggles to get aid in. What we know is that the workers were traveling in clearly marked cars on a route designated as safe for aid trucks when they were attacked. One of the people that was killed appears to be the first American killed by an Israeli strike since the war broke out in October. Others have been killed, but they're mostly part of Israel's military. We're still working on confirming that, but it would be the first one in about 6 months that was an American killed by Israel directly. Many other aid workers have been killed in Israel over the past months, but this is resonating especially because the American was killed, and Jose Andres, who founded World Central Kitchen, is an influential figure in D.C. politics and close with the administration.
Yeah, when I get at the reason, there's so much attention on this. One, the details are kind of harrowing, right? Like you talked about, these were folks that were doing all the right things. They were simply trying to help and really filling a void that has been created because aid can't get into Gaza. Jose Andres is an icon of sorts in Washington, D.C. He's very close to this administration. He sits on a council for the president. He has done events with the second gentleman, the first lady, the president, and the vice president over the last 3 years. been on a podcast with Antony Blinken, the Secretary of State, and some folks that I was talking to say that that makes them feel like this could be an inflection point in this war, and more importantly, in the way that this administration, if not just talks about, but also deals with when it comes to the policy of what's happening in the Middle East. Are you hearing that as well? And what's your take on that?
It's very difficult with this administration to determine what is a turning point in this war. After the strike, there were some strong words from the administration. So National Security Council John Kirby said that the White House was outraged to learn of the strike. But at the same time, during a briefing with reporters, he said that the White House will continue to support Israel's self-defense, but also stressed that they should work on deconfliction so that civilians and humanitarian workers are not killed or injured in attacks. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said a very similar thing, urging Israel to do more to protect civilians. But Biden also put out a statement saying similar things, coming down hard on Israel.
Matt, over the last few weeks, kind of month and a half or so, we've been seeing the Biden administration, as aides put to me, saying out loud and in public what they've been saying privately to Israel and Israeli officials, and more importantly, Bibi Netanyahu, the prime minister, from the very beginning. And it has become more and more stern. I'm looking at the statement President Biden sent out yesterday, something he has not done when other humanitarian workers have been killed in this conflict. And I'm going to read to this, and I want to have you respond to this on the other side. Quote, "Even more tragically, this is not a standalone incident. This conflict has been one of the worst in recent memory in terms of how many aid workers have been killed. This is a major reason why distributing humanitarian aid in Gaza has been so difficult, because Israel has not done enough to protect aid workers trying to deliver desperately needed help to civilians. Incidents like yesterday's simply should not happen. Israel has also not done enough to protect civilians." That feels stern. I know there are a lot of people, especially in the Democratic Party, that want him to say even harsher words. But for Joe Biden, a person who has talked about himself as a Zionist, these are harsh words.
No, I completely agree. What's also notable in that statement is that he doesn't give a lengthy dedication saying that they will continue to support Israel. Of course they will, but usually that is a significant portion of all these topics where he kind of balances it. It is relatively in line with what the administration has said, definitely more stern, but it's definitely the clearest example of Biden to date telling Israel to knock it off.
Matt, there's a lot more reporting that you and your team have to do. Everyone, check out National Security Daily. It's been amazing forever and has continued under this new regime of Matt Berg.
Appreciate it.
And so we will have to have you on again soon, sir. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
And at the White House, President Biden will be hosting an event with Senator Bernie Sanders, according to a White House official. The event will be with healthcare advocates and experts to discuss how the Biden-Harris administration is lowering the cost of prescription drugs, including the costs of inhalers, something that Senator Sanders has been working on for quite some time. I'm Eugene Daniels. Thanks for listening.